إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, just like the heart is the most important organ of the physical body, so too is the spiritual heart or the qalb the most important organ of the spiritual body or the ruh. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةٌ إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. That verily there is an organ in the body. If that one organ is healthy and sound, then the whole body will be sound. And if that one organ is unhealthy or diseased, then the whole body will be diseased. Verily that organ is the qalb. Now of course this is a hadith that can be interpreted in a physical manner and in a spiritual manner. Because in the physical realm, the heart is the most important organ. And if the heart is sound, then alhamdulillah the rest of the body is by and large in a good state. And if the heart is in a bad state, then the rest of the body is not in a good state. And the same applies in the spiritual realm as well. That when the spiritual qalb, when the spiritual heart is in a healthy state, then alhamdulillah the entire ruh, the entire soul, one's religiosity, one's spirituality, all of it is in good shape. And when the spiritual heart is diseased, when the spiritual heart is problematic, then one's relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal as well is problematic. And realize that when it comes to the spiritual heart, it is far more important than the physical heart. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah ta'ala la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa la ila ajsamikum, walakin yanzuru ila a'malikum wa ila qulubikum." That know that Allah does not look at your shapes nor at your bodies, but rather Allah looks at your deeds and at your hearts. Ila a'malikum wa ila qulubikum. What is important to Allah is not the physical shape. People are different shapes and is by and large beyond our control how and what color and what Allah created us. Notice, by the way, that most of us, in fact, maybe all of us, we spend hours worrying about the outer state. How do I look? Do I look good in this? How is my hair? Is it combed? And yet very few of us think about the internal state. And people judge us by external states. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges us by our internal state. People look at your outer shape and body. People look at how are you dressed, how are you physically fit, how this, how that. But Allah azza wa jal does not care about your outer bodies. Allah cares about your deeds and about your qulub, about your hearts. And therefore, brothers and sisters, in today's short khutbah, I want to shed some light on perhaps the greatest disease of the heart. And our scholars have called it the mother of all diseases or the roots of all diseases of the heart. This is the fundamental disease. The heart has many diseases. Just like in the human realm, in the physical realm, the heart can have many diseases. But there is one disease that is really and truly the mother of all diseases. It is the cornerstone from which all other diseases come out. And in Arabic it is called qaswatul qalb. In English, the hardness of the heart. This disease of hardening the heart becoming hard, because you see, the heart of the believer, the Quran describes it as soft. The Quran describes it as soft. Allah tells us in the Quran that the believers, their hearts, when Allah is mentioned, it trembles. The believers are those when they listen to the Quran, they cry. The believers are those they have a tender and merciful heart. The believers are those whose iman goes up in the heart. All of this is linked to the heart in the Quran. So the hearts of the believers are gentle. The hearts of the believers are soft. The hearts of the believers are tender. And the opposite of this is the hard heart, the qaswatul qalb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions qaswatul qalb in the Quran in a number of verses. of them is Surah Baqarah, when Allah Azza wa Jal describes the Bani Israel, when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala did perhaps one of the greatest miracles, and He resurrected a dead man in front of their eyes. This is the story of the calf, when Musa sacrificed the calf and he hit the calf, and the dead man, the murdered man, rose up and he said, "So and so murdered me." You all know the story. After this, what does Allah say? The very next verse, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُم مِّن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. After you saw all of this, your hearts became hard. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. Your hearts were even harder than rocks, solid rocks. Allah is describing the spiritual heart as being harder than a physical rock. And then Allah says, no, it was even harder than a rock. أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. For verily there are rocks that cry out of fear of Allah. There are rocks that they fall down out of fear of Allah. And a heart that is harder than a rock, how will that heart cry out of the fear of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Now what is dangerous, brothers and sisters, about the qaswatul qalb? Notice, when does Allah mention they got qaswatul qalb? After they saw the greatest miracles. After they saw the Red Sea split up, after they were saved from Fir'aun, after they were given food from the heavens, manna and salwa, after 12 springs sprout forth in the desert, after the dead is resurrected, after having all of this, still the hearts became hard. And you realize therefore, brothers and sisters, that the hardness of the heart is not coming from ignorance. It's not coming because a person doesn't know who is Allah. He doesn't see the mercy of Allah. The hardness of the heart can come despite, in fact, perhaps sometimes after all of these signs are shown, all of the verses are recited, but still the heart can remain hard. You see, the problem of the hardness of the heart is that the hardness of the heart can appear even with an Islamic environment, even being around the Prophet, even seeing the ayat and the miracles of Allah, and yet still the hardness of the heart can occur. And no doubt, therefore, this is a very, very dangerous disease. And yet another verse, our Lord mentions that He punished a group of people. He punished a group of people. How did He punish them? وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيًا. We punished them by making their hearts hard. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters, a punishment from Allah is to make the heart hard. If your heart is hard, this is not a blessing in any sense of the term. This is a punishment from Allah. Allah says so in the Quran, that because they did what they did, وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. We made their hearts hard. And therefore, one of the worst punishments, and one of the scholars of the past said, there is no punishment more severe than the punishment of having a hard heart. And therefore, brothers and sisters, and of course there's only so much we can do in a short khutbah, what I wish to do is to shed light on three primary topics of the hardness of the heart. Number one, it is a disease. So every disease has symptoms. We need to talk about some of the symptoms of a hard heart so that we know whether we suffer from this disease or not, right? That's what you do when you go to the doctor. He looks at your symptoms. Number two, every disease has causes, viruses. What causes the disease? So we need to find out what causes the disease of the hardness of the heart. And then number three, in the second khutbah, we will talk about the antidote, the virus. How can it be cured? Once, if we realize we do have a hard heart, how can the hard heart be cured? So we begin by the symptoms of this disease. How do we know if we have this disease of a hard heart? The first symptom, perhaps the greatest symptom, is simply not to care about having a relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal anymore. Simply, you don't care. In our vernacular, whatever, who cares? To have this attitude about the religion, about a relationship with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, is really of the greatest symptoms that a person has a hard heart. Another symptom of having a hard heart is to not enjoy the actions of worship. That even when a person prays, or when a person reads Quran, or when a person is in a religious gathering, he finds himself in a different realm. He zones out. The prayer itself becomes routine. It becomes monotonous. There's no enjoyment. There's no pleasure. Even though the greatest pleasure that every person should have is the pleasure of having a relationship with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is the greatest pleasure. And when our Prophet ﷺ was in a situation of distress, when our Prophet ﷺ was troubled by something of this world, he will tell Bilal, "Oh Bilal, bring us the pleasure of the salah," meaning give the iqamah. "Arihna biha ya Bilal." Because standing in salah would make the Prophet ﷺ be happy. If you're not going to find happiness in the actions of worship, then this is a symptom. If the actions of worship become monotonous, you're just doing them out of chore, out of routine, out of habit, this is a symptom that the heart is hard. Another symptom that this disease exists in the minds or in the hearts of a certain person is that this person simply does not benefit from advice. He doesn't benefit from listening to lectures, from being in an Islamic environment. Many a times, people who have a hard heart, they actually become arrogant towards religious gatherings. They look down as if these are the masses. They need to go and get some religious iman boost by going to a lecture. I don't need this. Who cares? This is for the sheep. I don't need it. You find a sense of nonchalance, a sense of arrogance that this person is superior to the rest of humanity. As if every person does not need some spirituality. But no, the one whose heart is hard, he doesn't care anymore about listening to advice. Only the one whose heart is soft, this is the one who will love to listen to advice, who will never get enough of listening to the Quran and Sunnah. And this is again one of the biggest problems of the hardness of the heart, that a person simply does not care about listening to advice anymore. And the final symptom that we'll mention, and there are many symptoms, but again, we have to summarize. The final symptom of the hardness of the heart is that the one whose heart is hard, not only does he habitually commit sins, sins become a lifestyle for him, even worse, there is no conscience, no guilt. He doesn't feel anything. So what? So the sins are there. But even worse than committing sins, and I say this very frankly, even worse than the sin itself, is that you commit a sin and you really just don't care that you just did a sin. Because the sinner who is repentant, there's hope for him. The sinner who's guilty, inshallah, there's light at the end of the tunnel. But the sinner who doesn't even realize, who doesn't even care he's committing a sin, there is no doubt that this is of the worst symptoms of the hardness of the heart. And perhaps now we see why the hardness of the heart is the mother of all diseases. It is, to be again, in a modern vernacular, in a modern, if you like, equivalent, the hardness of the heart is the AIDS of all diseases. All other diseases, it's literally your autoimmune deficiency, but literally become shut down. That every other disease of the heart is now open prey for your heart. There are many diseases of the heart. Arrogance is one of them, right? Feeling a sense of superiority is one of them. Being jealous is one of them. But you see, when you have the hardness of the heart, all of the other diseases, it's as if your heart is saying, "Come, ta'al, enter." There's no way to prevent you. There's no blockage. It is literally the AIDS of the spiritual body. And that is to have a hard heart. What are some of the factors? What are some of the viruses that cause the hardness of the heart? How does it develop? Because every disease has an environment that it has to develop in. If there is no environment, the disease will not develop. The first cause of a hard heart that is explicitly mentioned in the Quran is to avoid or to minimize or to ignore the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To not be involved in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, فَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Whoever turns away from my dhikr, from my remembrance, shall live a miserable and wretched life. The dhikr of Allah is the primary nourishment of the heart, the spiritual heart. When you cut off the nourishment of the heart, then the heart will wither and dry away. Just like if you don't drink water, your body will die. You will die of dehydration. Similarly, if you don't have dhikr of Allah, the heart will also become ossified, become stale, become solidified. And this is of the greatest causes of the hardness of the heart. Another symptom that causes this disease, and is also mentioned in the Quran, is to not follow the laws of Islam. To not care about the laws of Islam. Allah says in the Quran, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. Because they broke Allah's covenant. Allah's covenant means Allah's law, Allah's sharia. They didn't follow Allah's Sharia. We cursed them and we made their hearts hard. Notice a direct causal linkage. If you're not praying regularly, what do you expect other than to have a hard heart? If you're not doing your deeds that you're supposed to do, if you're not living the lifestyle of a Muslim, well then obviously you are fueling. Of course, this is a symptom and it is also a cause. It's a catch-22. The hard heart causes you to be irreligious. Being irreligious makes your heart even harder. It's a circle, it's a loop, because you are feeding a dead heart. And how is the dead heart going to get fed when there is no food, there is no spirituality to feed it? And so ignoring the Sharia, turning away from the commandments of Islam, not caring about the salah, not caring about the haram, not caring about the sins that we're doing. This is a problem that causes the heart to be hard. And Allah specifically mentions this in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that their hearts have rusted because of what they are doing. Notice what they do, the hearts become rusted. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. The ran here, this is a result of sins. When you commit sins to the point that you ignore, that you don't even care about the sins anymore, what happens? Your heart becomes hard. Yet another symptom, another cause, excuse me, of having the heart hard. Yet another virus, if you like, that makes the heart hard is to follow every single bodily desire, to make sure every wish of yours is fulfilled. Why? Because there is a tension between the body and the spirit. There's always a tension. And when you overfeed the body, the spirit is not given the attention it deserves. When you overindulge the body, then the spirit is not given the attention it deserves. And that's why, by the way, in Ramadan, in fasting, we purposely cut off from the body. We purposely minimize food and drink. We minimize sexuality. Why? So that the spirit or the ruh, it is increased a bit. So when you take care of every single whim, every single desire, every single urge you have of the body, then what's going to happen? The ruh will become neglected. And so following your desires, and by the way, even halal desires, if they are taken to an extreme, it will be harmful to the body. Even halal, too much of the mubah, our scholars say, too much of the neutral, it becomes makruh. It becomes discouraged, maybe even haram if it leads you to commit sins. So following every bodily urge, and the final cause that we'll mention it again, this is a short khutbah, we cannot go into all the details. The final cause that will be mentioned is too much entertainment, too much frivolity, too much wasting of time. This too is one of the primary causes that results in the heart becoming hard. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَكَثْرَةُ الضَّحِكُ, I warn you against too much laughing. Now laughing is not haram. Our Prophet ﷺ would smile dozens of times in the day. And on occasion he would laugh so much that you could see his teeth. Yes, laughing is not haram. But what did our Prophet ﷺ say? I caution you, I warn you against kathratul dhahik. Not laughing, too much laughing. Why? فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبِ. Too much laughing causes the heart to die. Too much frivolity, too much wasting time. And in our times, wallahi, the best example of this is the television. There is no question that absorbing this set in front of you for hours on day is one of the greatest symptoms, one of the greatest causes that will cause the heart to become dead. That you literally dull your mind, you dull your body, you dull your ruh, and you sit there and you just do absolutely nothing other than giggle and watch the haram and listen to the haram. No doubt this is going to cause a psychological effect. And what will that effect be? The number one effect, the hardness of the heart. Kathratul dhahik. This is exactly what is the modern equivalent. And literally, what is it called in English? Killing time. Murdering time. It's not something that we should be doing. And yet doing this will cause yet another problem of the heart, and that is the hardness of the heart. Brothers and sisters in Islam, The hardness of the heart. One of the worst problems about it is that every person can and is affected by it. From the greatest scholar to the layman worshipper. Simply having knowledge is not enough of a cure. Because here we have the Bani Israel. They saw with their own eyes what none of us have seen. And they saw all of these miracles. And yet still what happened? ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ Your hearts became hard after this. InshaAllah, in the second khutbah, we'll talk about some of the cures, some of the ways that we can make sure that the heart remains soft. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim, aqulu ma tasma'un, wa astaghfirullah al-Azim li wa lakum, wa li sa'il muslimin li kulli dhanbin, fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah al-wahid al-ahad, الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. So we talked about some of the symptoms. We talked about some of the causes. And it is now imperative that we talk about some of the cures. Some of the vaccinations that we can take to make sure that our heart remains soft. Or if we find that our heart is hard, how then do we make it soft? And again, because of the time of the khutbah, we can only summarize. I'll try to mention at least 6 or 7, and there are many more than these. Number one, if somebody has a weak heart in the physical world, what does he do? He monitors himself, checks his blood pressure, has a glucose problem, check his glucose. This is what you do. If you have a disease, you will make sure what is the status of the disease. And therefore, if you find yourself having the symptoms of a hard heart, well then you had better start monitoring the disease. Monitor it. See what state your heart is in. See what is your pulse. See how strong or how weak. See what is the strength of the heart and how weak is the heart and how soft is the heart. And of course, this is done by many ways. This is not the time to do that. But of the ways to do this is, you look at your own religious life. You look at your own, how much do you do of Islam? How much is Allah Azza wa Jalla a part of your life? You look at how much you remember Allah. Basically, you look at how religious you are. Because no doubt, the more religious you are, the more it will be shown in your actions. So one of the pulses of the state of the heart is to see how is your own personal religiosity. What is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How often do you think of Allah? How often do you turn to Allah? All of these things need to be monitored. Just like the sick person, he monitors his health. Just like the sick person will check his blood, check the blood pressure, check this, do that. Similarly, the one who sees these symptoms, that person had better start monitoring. And this is of the first ways to start keeping this disease in check. Number two, extra nawafil, extra deeds. And this is if you are praying the fard. If you're not praying the fard, then no doubt, before you get to the nawafil, you have to make your fard solid. Our Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that nothing a servant does can draw him closer to me than doing the fard obligatory deeds. Nothing a servant does can draw him closer to me than doing the obligatory deeds. This is the most important. Then he said, and then the servant continues to draw closer to me through the nafil, through the supererogatory, through the extra good deeds. And so increasing your actions of worship, all actions of worship will affect the heart. Number three, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We already mentioned that not doing dhikr causes the heart to become hard. And therefore the converse applies. Doing dhikr, being immersed in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is of the best ways to make the heart become whole and pure. And in fact, Allah mentions this explicitly in the Quran. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ Verily, through the dhikr of Allah, do the hearts find tranquility. The tranquility of the heart, the softness of the heart. And that is because the dhikr of Allah is the primary food for the soul. The dhikr of Allah is the primary food that the soul is nourished on. And if we supply our soul this food, it will, alhamdulillah, become healthy. And if we deprive it of its food, then it will become hard. And therefore, every one of us needs to see, how much dhikr am I doing? How much, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, am I saying in a day? These are the primary adhkar. After the salawat, the adhkar. Before going to sleep, the adhkar. Waking up in the morning, the adhkar. This is of the most important ways that we make our heart soft, and that is to immerse it in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in the famous hadith where the Prophet was asked, how do I get rid of this rust? كَلَّا بَرَّان How do I get rid of this rust? And he said, بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Through the dhikr of Allah, that's how you polish the heart. Point number three, or this point number four, being in righteous gatherings. being around people of religion. Birds of a feather flock together. And if you're around people who all they do is they backbite, or all they do is they diss or they curse, or all they do is they watch movies, or all they do is they talk about sports, well, what's going to happen? You also will be immersed in that culture. Whereas when you're around people who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they talk about the Quran, they talk about the Islamic Ummah, who are involved with the Ummah, then no doubt this will have a positive impact on you. And this is the reality, as our Prophet ﷺ said, that the person follows the religion of his friends. So see who is your circle of friends. And this is of the easiest ways, brothers and sisters. If you find yourself uncomfortable in the gatherings of your own friends, you find yourself being the more religious, well, no one is forcing you to be there. Go change your friends. For the sake of your deen and dunya, for the sake of this world and the next, for the sake of your family, find a better set of friends. Friends come and go. We all know this. Everyone has gone through phases of life. You don't have to stick with the same group of friends. If a group of friends are backbiting, or they're cursing, or they're arrogant, or they're making fun of, or this or that, why hang around them? Find a group of people who bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will make the heart softer. Of the vaccinations you can give, of the ways you can cure the hardness of the heart, is the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constant dua. Dua for anything and everything, and especially dua for the heart. Allah says in the Quran, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا. When our punishment came, why didn't they beg and turn to us in dua? But rather, وَلَكِنْ قَسَّتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Instead of dua, their hearts became hard. So notice here, Allah is saying, why didn't they do dua? Instead, their hearts became hard. And therefore, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of the ways to soften the heart. Not just dua for the heart, all types of dua. Why? Because dua is the only way we communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the primary means of communication. So when we communicate with Allah, we open up that window directly to Allah, and the heart feels an attachment to Allah. But especially of the duas, we make dua for the heart itself. Our Prophet ﷺ would regularly make dua. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala ta'atik. O you who changes the hearts always back and forth, make my heart firm in your worship, in your obedience. We make specific dua to Allah for our hearts, that our hearts remain firm in this religion of Islam. Another way to inoculate our heart, to vaccinate our heart, is to constantly think of the next world and of death. And this is a topic that deserves its own khutbah. And I have given khutbahs about this concept as well. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, that none of us likes to think about death. None of us wants to think about the inevitable. Every one of us, we are aware of people who have died. The year is about to end, 2012. We're all aware of those who were with us at the beginning of the year. Now they are no longer here. Many people in this own community, every one of you knows of specific people, right? We all hear of other people's deaths, but it never occurs to us that the time will come when the phone call will be about our own death, and the people being informed will be our circle of friends. Thinking about death softens the heart, makes you realize and prepare for that day. And the final point that we'll mention, and again the list is long, but this is, time precludes me from going deeper than this. The final point, and another point that the Quran mentions explicitly linked with the heart, the final point to make the heart soft is reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qira'atul Qur'an. Allah mentions in the Qur'an that of the characteristics of the believers is when the Qur'an is recited, their hearts, ثُمَّ تَلِينُ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts become soft, and they turn towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, reciting the Qur'an is of the greatest ways to soften the heart. Brothers and sisters, I advise myself and every one of you that we must have a certain portion of the day that we recite some Qur'an every single day. The Qur'an is the spiritual food, just like dhikr. The Qur'an is the greatest dhikr. In fact, one of the names of the Qur'an is dhikr. Anzalna dhikr. Allah calls the Qur'an al-dhikr. And we just said dhikr is the spirit of the food of the spirit. So what is the greatest food? It is the Quran. And therefore, of the greatest ways to soften the heart is to have a regular routine of reciting the Quran. Every single day, every single one of us, we need to recite, even if it is only 5 minutes a day, brothers and sisters. Even if it is only a few minutes a day, there has to be a daily relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for our heart to feel a little bit of that softness. Brothers and sisters in Islam, much more can be said. I have to mention one more point. I know the time is limited, but this is also an important point. Our Prophet ﷺ directly linked it to a Bedouin came and he said, O Messenger of Allah, my heart is very hard. How can I cure it? What did our Prophet ﷺ say? He said, if you wish for a soft heart, what should you do? He said, go feed the poor and wipe your head over the orphans. Go feed the poor and wipe your head over the orphans. One of the most easiest ways to soften the heart is to see what is happening to other Muslims, to be involved with musibas, with calamities. SubhanAllah, last week, this nation was shook to its core by an evil calamity, by innocent school children being gunned down. And our hearts bleeds for every one of them. People were crying on the streets. Every one of us, myself, I shed some tears. We all cried. Wallahi, it's a tragedy. But this is not the only tragedy that happens in the world. There are so many other tragedies. How many of us saw the bodies of the Syrian kids that are being slaughtered by their own government? How many of us see what is happening in Afghanistan? How many of us see what is happening around the world? We don't like to see those pictures. These particular group, because it is this own land, every child was portrayed with a special ceremony, whatnot, and that's fine, that's great. But the children around the world also deserve the same. The life of an Afghani is not cheaper than the life of an American. The life of a Syrian is not more or less than the life of any other child. We as Muslims, we are connected to the whole world. We're connected to our ummah. So let us see what is going on. Let us be aware. Let us be conscious. Let us see those gruesome pictures. And then you're not going to waste your time doing ridiculous things. A dear friend of mine, a good friend of mine, he told me he went for raising funds for a particular African country. The children were starving. And he spent 2 weeks in that country raising funds, videos, and then they're going to be raising funds in the Western world. He said to me, and I heard this myself, he said, for 4 months after I came back, 4 months, every time I sat down to eat, I could not finish that plate. For 4 months after I came back, I couldn't finish a meal. Why? Because he interacted with a group of people. They exist, but our mind wants to block them away. We don't want to know about, these are our own Muslim children in a Muslim land. He saw with his own eyes, he goes, for 4 months, I couldn't fill my stomach up. Didn't our Prophet ﷺ say, if you want to have a soft heart, what should you do? Go find a poor person, give him money. Go find an orphan, stroke his head. I.e., be physically involved with those who have less than you. Then see if you can waste your time doing nothing. Then see if you can have a hard heart. So brothers and sisters, many are the things we can do. Where there's a will, there's a way. And of the most beginning symptoms is to know you have a disease. Of the most important factors is to know you have the disease and then work on your way to curing it. I conclude this khutbah by reminding myself and all of you of that beautiful verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Hasn't the time come? Isn't it about time? For how long are you going to delay? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Isn't it time for the believers that their hearts become soft for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And they don't follow the path of those who went before, whose hearts became hard. Isn't it time for the hearts to become soft? For how long are we going to remain in this oblivious, in this arrogant, in this heedless state? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, the time is now. The time is now to make the hearts soft. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those whose hearts achieve the highest level of softness.